Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Hey, Hello Universe fam. It's Eva here with a solo intro today. Thanks for joining us. This episode today will be, well, I was going to say it's going to be all about human design, but actually it's about so much more because P, the Fury, is just one of those people who's like super chill and laid back and also simultaneously just has all of these really creative and unique ideas. It's like such a fun conversation. But I do want to say, for those of you who don't know what human design is, if you want to learn more, just go into Google, be like free human design test. I think it's like, there's a main website that people go to, like bodygraph.com or something like that. Type in your birthday. If you have the time, that's probably the best. And then you can find out what type you are. All of this is stuff that I'm still learning and I don't know what's come over me, y'all, but like, I'm just getting sucked in. I'm like hooked. I think because when I got my reading, it just felt so accurate for me and it's actually been incredibly helpful. And I just love learning about myself, right? In all these in different ways. So yeah, I don't know. I'm warning you now, you will probably be hearing me reference human design more and more because when I get into something, I go all in. So that's what our episode is about today. I want to let y'all know that the doors for Awakening, my 4-week online program, open November 23rd. So that is the week of Thanksgiving when you can finally sign up and enroll and get your butt into the course. The waitlist has actually closed now. So the chance for bonuses and all that has passed, but that's okay. You can still register with everyone else when doors open on the 23rd. And if you are a thoughtful, ambitious spiritual seeker, which if you are listening to the show, I know you probably are, and you want to develop more tools, more skills for being able to handle fear, stress, anxiety, and actually experience inner peace, not just thinking about it intellectually, right? Because we've talked about this on the show before. We tend to intellectualize enlightenment. Like, how can I, like, what books can I read to actually get there? But that's just staying more in the mind, right? This program is created for people who, like you, and actually more like me, because that was my experience for so long. I wanted to like intellectualize how to actually be more present and like be more peaceful. It actually comes from doing things like dropping the mind and experiencing it. I keep trying to focus on this idea of like, it's peace is an experience. And that's what I want so much for the people in this course, to be able to know how to experience true peace. And that's the funny thing about peace, inner peace, and this being a spiritual growth course, is that inner peace can be learned, y'all. That's something that I think I've been thinking about a lot recently. It's like, inner peace isn't this like nebulous abstract thing that's not available to us. It's just like anything else, actually. It's like learning a sport and you keep practicing it and eventually you get better at it. It's like learning an instrument, right? And you start and you suck at it first and you just keep practicing and then suddenly it starts to flow. And that's the same thing with inner peace. It's, we don't pop out of the womb. Actually, no, the only time I would say we are peaceful is when we pop out of the womb, right? And then we have all our conditionings and our learnings. And then so much of our spiritual journey is unlearning our conditioning and just getting rid of the layers and the layers and layers that get in the way of the peace that's actually always there and available to you. It's just learning how, it's practicing. It's a skill just like anything else. And I've sort of boiled it down into a fundamental course taken from things that I've actually been able to learn and use with my own clients and distilled it into 4 simple weeks. So if you are interested, come follow me on Instagram if you're not already. If you want more information, you can email me. You can actually go to my website at evaleao.com. And also just note that doors open on November 23rd and the course itself starts on November 30th. So the last week of November, it's going to run almost to the end of the year. So it's going to be a really, I think, powerful and fun way to close out this year. If you want 2020 to end on a good note, this might be a place to start. All right. So with that, I'm going to introduce our guest. P. The Fury is an Afrofuturist, a seer, and she does human design readings. Her work is about possibility, potential, and realization. And she's a strong believer in universal consciousness. So I think you guys are in for a ride, especially if you're new to human design, but also if you're not, I always think it's like really interesting to hear it from different perspectives. I really think you're going to like this one. Okay. Bye, y'all. All right, P, thank you so much for being here today. For listeners, I want y'all to know that I personally got my human design read by P like about a month ago. And I was like, I got to learn more. I got to have you on the show. So thank you so much for being here.
I'm super excited.
Yeah. So what does spirituality mean to you, and how does it show up in your everyday life?
I would say spirituality means breath. Because I feel like everything is spirituality. And the experience of breathing is just the experience of spirit in a physical body. So to feel it with our senses is to breathe. So I'd say that's what it is.
Wow. Awesome. And, how does that show up in your everyday life, I guess? Because I feel like in the brief conversations that we've had, and I've heard you on other podcasts, like, I also feel like your interest of spirituality expand into all these different realms though. And even before the podcast, you were already talking about how you're interested in fairies, you're interested in aliens. and also you're an artist, and I think it shows, and your art is very like Afrofuturistic, I feel like, and I feel like if there's a connection with all of these things.
Yeah. So spirituality in everyday life it's just part of how I am. I was born a Christian because I got born into the religion. But since I was little, I was very much into my, I guess, relationship with like the all-powerful God and the experience that I had of God. Like since I was six, I used to feel like the overwhelming presence of God. And it's like, I think I like spoke in tongues for the first time when I was six because I was like overwhelmed. And so it's just been part of everything I do. I can't help it. Like if I trip over a stick, I'm like, like my brain's like automatically like, what does that symbolize? It's really annoying sometimes. Honestly, I'm like, come on, can we just have like an experience and not have to do the whole connection thing, the mirror thing? But yeah.
Yeah,
it's just also reminding myself of that too when I start to get, you know.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I think I've had that experience too, where sometimes I had to be careful about overly attributing meaning to things when maybe it doesn't mean anything. And I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know if I have any sage ideas on like how to make that discernment sometimes, because sometimes I think tripping over a stick is really just tripping over a stick. But is it?
Yeah. And I feel like it's whenever I decide that it does mean something, it's like, okay, cool. Here's a mirror. But whatever, like sometimes I have to tell myself, like, I don't feel like doing this mirror. I don't want to know the reason behind this at the moment. I'm just tripping over a stick.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
I've so had those moments where I'm like, you know what? I don't actually have the bandwidth to do the like deep shadow work that I know is behind this like mildly triggering situation. So we're just going to like mosey on. It'll show up in a couple months and I can deal with it then. But yeah. my spiritual inner work plate is currently full.
Yes, exactly.
I have a question for you, which is what's your journey? So from going from like a little kid having these profound spiritual experiences to the adult that you are now, who does human design and has this rich spiritual world, like, was that a constant for you, or did it drop off and then you found God, the universe in a new way as an adult?
I'd say, so I was raised as a Christian, had a connection with God. I kind of felt some disconnect. I don't really know how to describe it. I had this like weird feeling when I would listen to sermons sometimes where I'd feel like I'm connecting with a lot of this, but I'm like, something is weird. I don't know. Like, it felt like I was missing something, but I was a teenager really when it started really happening. And so I didn't know what to do. And then when I was around 22, I committed like the worst sin that I thought I could commit as a femme being. And I was just like, wait, I'm not like, I feel like God's still right there. Like,
wait, what's the worst sin? You mean sinning and having sex?
Yeah. And like my parents are both West Indian. and they're real big on like women and their virginity and all that. And my mom, like, she, like, I was over 18 and she still didn't want me to date. She was like, you need to not do that at this time. And experience that sin. There's a ton of sexual shame, which I didn't really realize in my past. And from my mother's experience and her mother probably, but committed that sin. And I was like, God's like there, like the God that I've been talking to this entire time has not left. And that's really weird for me. And I don't think that the God is mad at me because I'm not really sure if God is mad at me. And so I just kind of was like, maybe I don't have to feel this guilt, this much guilt and this much shame. Cause I'm not feeling that. So I departed from that religion. And I, like, immediately after, a friend of mine gave me the book Think and Grow Rich, and I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I don't know. I'm not sure. And I started practicing and weird things would happen. And I'm like, this is weird. This is like flukes. I'm not believing this, whatever. And so I was in that, like, I'm not believing this, but I believe this mode, for all of 2017.
You're like, I'm not believing this, but also I'm still doing it.
Yeah. I was waking up every morning and I'm like, this is what we're going to do with our mindset to see what happens today. Now, the big thing that I was trying to make happen didn't happen. I was like trying to be, I used to work at the Apple store in Atlanta, and I was like, someday someone's going to like take me out of here. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to get me out of working this retail job. And that never happened. And I had a friend pass away who was also an artist, and he used to like believe in his art. And that was weird for me to like look at, because for the most part, I wasn't around people who didn't think that their art wasn't going anywhere. They were just like, I'm going to be an artist one day, but like they weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. Or I had professors when I did go to school and drop out, they were still being professors and they did not look happy. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't know about that. But he really believed in me, this artist. Then he passed and I was like, well, people die. Like, and I already thought about that a lot. I have 4 signs in Scorpio, so I think about death quite a bit.
Whoa.
But I was like, yeah, people really die, and like I could die, so I'm not going to try the art thing out before I die. And that began like me trying to believe in my creating of the reality a bit more. 2018 happened. I was still wobbling back and forth. I went into like a suicidal depression at the end of 2018. It was really intense. Then 2019, I asked for help from my family. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's happening. So I moved in with my dad for a while and got a chance to chill out and just spend a lot of time with myself. That was a lot of examining of my beliefs, and like my notes app that year, I filled that thing up. Then I moved back to Georgia, had some wild experiences of like manifesting the place where I live, manifesting my partner, manifesting an illness that shook me until I was just like, we're gonna have to really do this for real, because you could like possibly die, so we're doing it. So that's the journey to where I'm at.
When you say doing it, you mean like following your dreams, like wanting to do what you want to do, or doing what you want to do?
Believing that I could create my reality. Because to me, the dream, I don't have like a particular dream that I'm headed towards, but I would like to continue to do more of whatever I want every day. And I want it to expand to this point. Like I can feel this future for myself sometimes, but it feels like insane. And I'm like, I don't know. And a part of me is just like, that's totally going to happen to you. And I'm like, no. And so finally deciding to be like, you know, if you keep doing what you want to do, whatever you want, if you keep doing that and like not feeling guilty about it, that thing is happening. It's just a matter of time. And so that's where I'm at most of the time. Today I had some wobbly moments because yesterday was complete wobbleness. But I feel very firm in that version of reality at the moment.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. I think there was so much to that story that I thought was that I could dig into more, but I think one of the things that really stood out to me was that I want to call back to is I think it's so amazing actually, and beautiful and interesting actually that in that moment where you felt like you had created committed like the greatest sin, your experience was experiencing, wait, but God still loves me. And yeah. That's really powerful. And I think that says, I don't know, that's really interesting of you at such a young age, because I think a lot of people go the other way, don't they? A lot of people feel like sinful and that God is going to cast down and like, I don't know, punish them and like, or whatever. And I don't know if there's much to say about that, but
I think there's a third option too. So there's what you did, P, which is like, wait a minute, God still loves me. So this organized religion story's got to go, but I'm going to take God and go live my life. And then there's this option that you're talking about, Eva, which is where like you believe in that your sin like is sinful and God is abandoning you. And then I think there's this third option, which I think is what I experienced when I was in my 20s, which is like, well, that organized religion has so much toxic bullshit. I guess God must not be real either. And I'm just going to go live my life and how I want to. But like, I guess I don't care about God anymore. So I love so much. It's like such a power move. They're like, no. I got God. We're good.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of curious. Like, where did that come from?
When I was little, like the longest friend that I've had, I've known her since I was like 12. She used to say, she's just like, the relationship that you and God have is a little weird. She's like, I feel like you're half in the spirit world, half in the physical world at all times. And she's also like, she's still a devout Christian, a beautiful husband, beautiful foster kids. And she's had a baby. I'm so proud of her. I love her. and she was just like, yeah, she's like, he doesn't talk to me the same way he talks to you. And I was like, well, I don't know. To me, like God sounded like me the whole time and talked like me the whole time. Sometimes there'd be time where like it sounded old, and sometimes like there's no words, it was just a feeling, but it never felt like distant from me. It just felt like
part of you,
always there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful.
I have chills.
Yeah. There's like the saying in Chinese where people say it's like Tian Sunda, which means it's like you were born from the sky that way. Meaning it's like natural to you. And I was like, oh, maybe, yeah, maybe that's just how you came into this earth.
Yeah. I have this theory that all Scorpio placements are wherever your soul is also kind of dead. So I feel like I am both alive and dead in some like parts of me. And so I feel like that connection between the underworld and this world is like allowing me to connect to God in a way that's very natural. Cause it's like, I honestly truly believe that I could be dead right now. Like it's a thing that I think about all the time. And I'm like, I'm just, this is what heaven is, I guess. And I'm dead. Like it's,
whoa.
So I feel like sometimes I'm like, now we're dead, now we're not dead. It's like this thing that happens sometimes.
Blowing my mind with that thought, which is
thought experiments are Eva's like favorite thing ever. So
yeah, but also like, and partly why I wanted to have you on the show, because I just appreciate so much people who just think, who it can think differently out of the box, can expand my consciousness to be like, you know, I have this one set reality, but like you, yeah, but like that, how do I know that's real, right? Like what the fuck is reality? Yeah. It's all bendable. But so it makes me wonder, are you a projector?
No, I'm a manifesting generator.
Okay. All right.
Oh, good. You can explain me to myself.
Yeah. So why don't we get into that? Because there's, I think, so much to cover. I want people to, I'm just learning about human design. There's still so much to learn. After my reading with you, it made me realize like, wow, this is like, this is the tip of the iceberg. There's like so much, and you're a wealth of information. So I was wondering if we could maybe, yeah, where do we even start? How do we explain human design to people?
Yeah, maybe if people who don't know anything, like what even is human design? Maybe we can start super basic.
Okay. So human healing design, wow, okay, Freudian slip. Yeah. Human design is a modality that is used to show how someone's energy is designed to function in the universe. Basically, when I look at a human design chart, I'm looking at the map that you created before you incarnated into a body. And you decided like, okay, so based off of these elements of the universe that I enjoy. I'm going to take these pieces of the essence of the universe and assign that to myself in these particular placements. And so based off of the 64 gates, that's what they're called. Based off the 64 gates that you choose, you can have these traits. And when these traits pop up in the physical body, they cause energy to move in a particular way, which has an effect on your aura. And your aura dictates how you are designed to interact with the universe itself. Some people, like generators, for instance, are designed to magnetize things to them. Projectors are designed to be invited, especially when it comes to human contact, they're designed to be invited into opportunities. Manifestors, they create energy. The only type you can create energy. Reflectors reflect everything back to us, and they show us exactly what's happening with us as mirrors. Hopefully they got all the types. And then manifesting generators are a hybrid of manifestors and generators, but they're generators first and foremost. Okay.
So those are the five types, right? Those are the five.
The five types. There's four types and then like a subtype, which is manifesting generator, because it's like a hybrid.
Okay.
But yeah, so it just explains kind of like... I always say when I'm talking about this thing called profile in human design, and it's these two little numbers that pop up next to your type. I always say that like in a fantasy movie, this would dictate like, are you a fairy or are you a gnome? Are you like a unicorn? Like what type of being are you in this world? Or in a video game, like, are you a paladin or are you a mage? It just kind of like decides what character you're playing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you said use the word choose, meaning the idea is that we, our souls, like choose to be this what do you call it, a sign?
Aura type.
Okay, so our souls choose our aura type before we even come in and then this planet. And so our souls want to live this type.
That's my going theory. I try not to say belief because I'm an open head and open Anya being. And so belief isn't like a thing that we do. It's more of like this would be cool. Like I'm going to experience what it's like to feel this as like a theory or a concept. And so my current theory and the one that's been standing for the longest period of time is that we are infinite souls. Like our experience of being alive, is just because we were infinite energy and we wanted to break down into these billions, endless pieces. And we kind of broke, we're like this mirror that snapped into millions of pieces and now we're just reflecting pieces back to ourselves. And so I believe that to organize that, to make it the most efficient thing, we're like, okay, so everyone choose your type. Like how do you want to experience being in a physical human body? We're infinite energy, but we don't want to be this big all the time. So I would like these traits of the 64 traits. And then when I get into a human body, this is how I'm going to experience life, because what else are we going to do? So that's kind of how I view that.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I think that really lines up with some of the like work that I do in the records and like messages that I get, right? About how like we incarnate into each lifetime to learn certain lessons, to have certain experiences, to be of service in particular kinds of way. And so like going with this like kind of video game fantasy story theory, it's like, okay, what am I packing in my survival kit, right? Yeah. Like, you know, if this journey is going to involve that I'm hiking up a lot of mountains, well, I'm going to leave the swim trunks, I'm going to pack the ski poles, you know?
Yeah. And what's really cool though, that I find like when I'm doing readings for people, they'll say to me, like, I'll give suggestions based off of their chart. And they're like, I just implemented that like a week ago. And I'm like, yeah, life was already telling you what to do and you were listening, which is amazing. But then I popped up in the video game. And it's funny because I was talking to my friend and I'm like, I'm kind of like an oracle that pops up. And it's like, you can talk to me for a while and then leave me alone. But like, I'll be here and I'll give you whatever it is you need to hear. You're going to hear it anyway, but you wanted to make it a little bit easier. So then you found a person who just put it all into one thing and gave it to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is happening, is like, this is just life giving you like a little bit of a manual for the video game. You didn't need it, but here you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And well, I think what's been helpful for me is I'm always interested in new ways to become, you know, more self-aware. And that's been really like your reading with me has been helpful. It's like, yeah, some things that maybe even I guessed but wasn't sure it was true. And then, you know, it's helpful when someone comes along with a piece of information and I go, oh, like that actually makes so much sense, or like, oh, that's why. And then I can go out into the world and be more self-aware about maybe why I do certain things, or if something's working for me, or why something's not working for me. So yeah, it does not, it's like, it, so it empowers me, I think, in a way, I think, to be more aware.
That's how I feel. Like, I know only a teeny tiny, like, you know, teaspoon worth of information about human design, but like, it, what I do know about my type has been very liberating, because I'm like, oh, look, I'm supposed to have 1,000 ideas. Like, that's how I'm built. Like, and I am someone who for a long, long time had a lot of shame around like, oh, you always have a million ideas, but you don't finish anything. Right. And so now I'm like, oh no, like it's literally how you're wired. So like, just get support on executing the like last 20% that you're never going to be actually interested in anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think that's where like the mirror can just kind of help us be like, oh, I was never supposed to do that anyway.
Yeah. And I just want to share one more thing again from my reading that was so helpful was P, you pointed out to me that I wasn't sure, I'm not sure what it was in my chart, but this idea that I'm ambitious. Like I just I like doing shit. I have big goals, big dreams. I want to do stuff. And sometimes I get caught up in the story of like, that's the patriarchy. That's capitalism. Like there's something wrong with wanting to be so ambitious. And I'm like, but that's just, I love it. Like it brings me joy and happiness. And so it's allowed me to bring myself back a little bit to being my natural self without feeling like I'm doing something wrong or that I need to be ashamed of that. So yeah, there we go.
Like, that's how I feel. Cause I talk to some people, cause some people like there are parts of their chart. They're like, this soul went, they came to be a human who makes money. Like they like the experience. They're like, if you were playing The Sims and you assigned your Sim, like, it would be really cool to experience the Sim getting like super rich. That would be so cool. That's basically what you're doing by choosing a certain characteristic. You're like, the Sim likes to play with money. Let's do that. And it might not even be that trait might change into this Sim likes to play with value energy, because money is just like, it's not like a thing. It's just the experience of value. And so I feel like what helps me with readings is that like, I truly feel like I've tried to be a very non-judgmental person. And with charts, like there's some people who are designed to be kind of manipulative. And I'm like, hey, it's in there. Like that energy, you have the ability to like make people listen to you. And so do what you will with that. I am not an oracle who is good or bad. I'm simply telling you what I'm seeing on your chart. I am also someone who's very excited and I like the idea of me being the most powerful person in my life. And so I also share that, but it's not that I think that it's the right thing to do. I'm just like this. And so obviously because I'm doing it, you'll feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So could you break down, okay, so now we know the five types. This, I feel like this, there's probably a lot of, I want this to be like a sort of beginners-ish like intro into human design. So there's the five types. What do you think is helpful for people who might be new to human design to know?
The first thing is try to get your birth time within 15 minutes. That is preferred because your chart can pretty drastically change, like with 1 minute off sometimes, but 15 minutes is pretty safe. If not, you can get your chart rectified if you can't like find your birth time. So that's a big thing. But the most important thing with human design is living out your type. So some people, they get really into the intricacies immediately because they're just like, oh, what is this gate? And then what is this hexagram of this gate? What does this digestion mean? And it's like, wait a second, like try out living your design first and be okay with the fact that you are like this, because society's probably been teaching you to be the opposite for a while. And you are pretty, probably not feeling too great from being morphed into this thing that you're not. So experience being yourself for a while and then get into all the intricacies. But see what happens when you just exist as your type. Life gets a lot easier.
Okay. So what does that mean, existing from your type? Can you do that general breakdown?
Yes. So starting out with projectors. So projectors, they are here to wait for the invitation. And so
which
this
is
invitation...
me, guys. That's me. I'm a projector. So holler at all my fellow projectors out there.
But yeah, so energetically, it's ideal that projectors, when communicating with another person, they allow the person to ask them for their expertise. They should be reaching out to the projector to share their knowledge or their wisdom. Now, projectors, oftentimes, they only make up 20% of the population. And so sometimes projectors get very influenced and impacted by generators because generators make up 70% of the population. And they also, they kind of... their beliefs and the way that they exist is like very much ingrained in society. And so generators are the ones who tend to work very hard. They just enjoy effort. Like they enjoy doing things out of physical labor. It's just a thing. And it's because they actually feed energy to other beings. So protectors will be conditioned by this very often, and they will hear their design sometimes and they're like, oh, I'm supposed to wait for the invitation. That sounds like I'm not doing anything. And so I'm not absolutely not going to wait for any invitations. I'm just going to keep being a projector and helping people unsolicited. And so it oftentimes can make life not feel too great if they don't try to feel what it's like to wait for the invitation and learn how to trust that they will be fine if they wait for the invitation. Doing that, and also knowing that like waiting for the invitation doesn't mean you can't start your business. It doesn't mean that you can't like buy a car. It literally means when you're talking to someone, let them come to you first and ask you for help before offering to connect with that person. When that happens, life is so much more smooth for the projector. They burn way less energy trying to act like a manifester or a generator. And they start to trust like, whoa, I don't actually have to make as much effort as everyone's been saying. It's actually okay. And I'm supposed to be kind of like lazy compared to the other types. They're the creator of human design, Ra Uruhu, I think he called the projectors like the divine lazy ones or something like that. And it's like, sharing the idea that like rest is so important, getting sleep, spending time alone, not doing anything for a majority of your day. Ideally, projectors should be working 3 hour output, 3 hours a day. And sometimes I hear that and they're like, what? No. And it's like, because you're surrounded with generators. That's why you think
and
that's
capitalism. You got generators plus capitalism. Yeah. You're really screwed.
Yeah. And I think the amount of generators combined with the manifestor connection is like what created the whole capitalism. But like now we're done with that. We're evolving past needing to have that type of relationship with the universe. And so projectors, you guys started being born in the 1700s. And so that was the beginning of like the end of that time period of living in this like worker bee type of lifestyle. So it's like finally catching up with us in 2027 in human design. They talk about this thing, it's this, why am I forgetting what it's called, not a quantum shift, but it's like this new experience that we're heading into in 2027, and that is this change of experiencing the way that the world works. Like people are not going to be working as hard. People are going to start realizing like, oh, this is not as hard as we're making it. And it's because of these shifts that are happening. So projectors, you guys got to lead the way when it comes to using your energy in an efficient manner, and not burning yourself or burning all of your energy up for somebody else.
Yep. And then can hear you loud and clear. Yep.
I love this. I was also super proud of myself because when Eva was like, oh, I got my human design read. And I was like, she's a projector. She's a projector. She's a projector.
Yeah. I don't know. Somehow you knew, which was like amazing.
I think it was the rest piece. Like, I know that you're someone who like needs rest and then also has some tension around needing that rest. Totally. And also, I know a few people who like love, like genuinely madly in love with alone time as much as you. Mm-hmm. And in a way that's like so beautiful. So I was like, those two things together, I was like, she's got to be a projector.
Yep. Yep.
Makes sense. But yeah, just learning how to, you know, trust that the invitations will come, especially when you're sharing your wisdom, because projectors, they were born to be wise, and they're born to guide us. And so when you start to show people like, this is how I'm wise, that allows people to recognize you and actually create that invitation. And then generators and manifesting generators, our design type predominantly is to respond to our environment. And so it's a little different than projectors. Projectors in wait for the invitation to like offer assistance or offer their services to other beings, especially generators. But generators, they're here to respond to everything in their environment. They are not really here to make things happen of their own like will or volition necessarily. It's more of like, I see this thing, I respond to the thing. And then if I follow what my gut is telling me, then it's probably gonna work out more often than not, or lead me to the step that will make it work out. And they're following the lily pads of feeling. Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. This is one of the things where I get kind of confused. Like, what is the difference between waiting for the invitation and responding? Because sometimes I think I get it, and then other times I'm like, that's the same thing.
Yes. So a projector invite. So projectors, their auras are very open, but it's like it also shines this light beam that is almost like x-ray vision on people when they're speaking to people one-on-one, or when they create this energetic space with the person. The person can kind of feel the projector shining their light into them. So this light, imagine that someone who you're talking to has some glasses on that are made of light, and when they look at you, they can see all of your undergarments, basically. Mm-hmm. So projectors are waiting for consent to be able to enter mm-hmm. someone's aura like that. And that's why it's very important that it's like a human to human connection that invitation is for. If not, people can feel very shocked, very naked. They feel like, why are you seeing me like this? Where did you come from? Why are you offering me this help? Like, please, I feel
violated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And they have this like, get away from me type of energy towards projectors, or they will ignore projectors if they feel like the projector is like, let me see, you know?
Yeah. Cause they're seeing too much.
Yeah. And then, but also on the flip side, as someone who has the like blessing of knowing you and working with you closely, Eva, like having that like x-ray vision turned on you when it has been invited, like when you are like invited, is like the most delicious, warm, yes. like it's such a profound way of being loved, to be seen so fully and to be given guidance from that place of like, I see you so deeply and I am this wise one. Like, who doesn't want to be seen fully by someone who's super wise?
Sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
That's something
that's
to consider.
True. That's true.
But the times where you want it, it's like, whoa, like,
yeah,
I didn't know that I had that. I didn't know that I was using my energy like this. I didn't know I was being this person. So it's really beautiful when you get the consent. So that's what that waiting for the invitation is, compared to a generator where they are responding to everything in their environment. It's kind of like the generators are magnets. So they pull everything to them. It could be opportunities, people, whatever. There's just always things kind of floating around in the vicinity of a generator. So generators, the thing about them is that they don't create the energy out of their body. They don't like decide like, now I'm gonna do this thing. It has to be that like something pops up in front of you and you can choose to have a no response or a yes response to that thing. If you have a yes response, you move towards that thing. If you have a no response, you ignore it, let it go away. If you feel a no, definitely stay away from that thing. That's your sacral being like, that's not ours. And that's anything that is a billboard or a text message. It's like, it's not just people. You're responding to everything in your field. Now, there's freedom in both, because projectors have the freedom to pretty much do whatever, unless it's involving another person. Generators have the freedom to respond to anything at any given moment. It's just that you have to know what a response feels like in your body. And when you start to know what that response feels like, you start to respond much more and more and more. And you realize that there's really not that much to wait for. Some beings are like, you do need to wait a little while. Give yourself like some time to breathe and get into your sacral, get into your gut, put your consciousness there. And then make a choice or a decision at that point. But it's not mental choosing, it's gut choosing.
Okay. So yeah, so this is more I'm thinking of like an example of someone who's like not happy at their job. Like they're responding to their current job, right? That by being like, I'm responding to this, it's like, no, I don't want to do it anymore. And then as they are like looking for job interviews and stuff, things will pop up, but the generator isn't the person who's going to like blast on LinkedIn, like, hey, everybody, I need a new job. Someone come. Right. Like, that's not going to work. Like, it's just going to get land on crickets. Right. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. And what might happen is maybe they're scrolling on Twitter and then they see a LinkedIn advertisement and they're like, ooh, I want to click that. Like, my body feels a reaction to this. I'm going to click this. And then they can go ahead and do whatever pops up on the LinkedIn website, but it's because something popped up in the experience for them to respond to first.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. That makes sense. Okay. Continue on. Unless you have questions, Eva.
No, I just think this is so interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then there's the experience of the manifestor, and they make up like 9% of the population. However, they are the beings who created the civilizations that we're living in now, way back in the day. And the reason they created this is because manifestor's job is to basically connect to the collective and make what has to be made for us to keep expanding. And it can be now, I also am someone who believes that infinites can go in any direction it chooses. And so I do believe that at our core we're love, but I also believe that love allows all things to exist. And so some manifestors were dictators because they're just like, that's a human experience. Some manifestors tend to be kings and queens, but they did create these worlds. They're like, this needs to exist. They get these urges that come from nowhere. And it's not nowhere. It's the collective being like, this is the next thing we're making based off the vibration that we're offering as a collective. This is the next thing we're making. And so they start these fires. So manifestors have the ability to basically like speak and then the thing happens. And my mom's, I discovered she was a manifestor. I thought she was a projector. And so I thought that the things that she was advising me about, I was just like, oh, they keep happening because, you know, she's just right. But I realized they keep happening because she kept saying they were going to happen. And I was like, oh. So now I tell my mom, I'm like, I need certain boundaries when you're, I'm like, when you're worried, please don't talk to me. I don't want to hear whatever it is that's going on with your mind about my
job or love life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Now, when they speak, it occurs. The more they trust the urges and the more they stop trying to be logical or make sense to other people, because that's a manifestor issue that so many manifestors have this problem of like trying to appease people. Then they create these like,
mom, if you're listening, you're definitely a manifestor. Carry on.
Now their job or their strategy to their way of living their design is just letting people know what's about to happen. Tell them like, hey, I'm creating this reality. However they say that with to whoever they're saying it to, it might affect you. I'm just letting you know. I'm not asking you for permission, but I'm letting you know that this is about to happen. And the reason why is because manifestor energy, it impacts people and they feel a shift when there's people, whenever a manifestor steps into a room, people feel a shift. And so if the manifestor is able to communicate what's about to happen, people aren't as uneasy around them. It's like, okay, I think I know what's going to occur now. So I don't have to like defend myself from this manifestor energy that you're creating in the room. So that's the manifestor strategy. And then there are the reflectors. And so the reflectors basically pick up on the energy of everyone they come into contact with, the entire collective, but also with the neutrinos, and that's like the energy that's coming from the stars. They are affected by those as well. And so they're designed to wait an entire lunar cycle before making a decision, because by the time a lunar cycle completes, they've received information from pretty much anyone and everything to be able to get to this point of clarity where they're like, I think I know how my collective is feeling about how this next step is going to go. I can make a super wise decision at this point because I'm open, because reflectors have all open centers. So they're very much open to receiving from all things. But that's the...
Is that oftentimes frustrating for reflectors? Does that mean that they are often indecisive, or that they just... I can see how that might be challenging in a society that we're constantly trying to like make quick decisions and where that's valued. Does that get frustrating?
I'm sure. I've spoken to a couple reflectors. They only make up 2% of the population. So I haven't spoken to many of them. But from the ones I've met, it can be frustrating. But a lot of the people who I've talked to have done the work to be like, I don't have to be this reliable, consistent person. And like, they've kind of learned the lessons that they had to learn about that openness and never having like an idea of like an identity or a direction or even value. They're just kind of like, I know I'm floating. Sometimes I feel some ways, some days I feel other ways. And like, if they can accept the fact that they're constantly in flux, but then when their cycle is done, they will reach a point of clarity. And when they can trust that, it's a really cool experience, because anywhere that you're open, I view it as like, this is a museum experience that you're having. You're able to take this energy in and observe it. It's going to feel like yours. But if you know what you feel like when you're by yourself, you can kind of create this distance between you and what you're absorbing and like look at it and examine it and gain wisdom from it.
Yeah.
And reflectors have a lot of opportunities to do that because they have all open centers.
Yes. So interesting. I'm like, yeah, see, if you're a reflector, or if you don't know if you're a reflector, but it sounds like you, this is why I think human design could be helpful, because then you could be like, oh, like this is why do this. Yeah.
Can you explain also manifesting generators, the little like hybrid subgroup?
Yeah. Cause my partner is also a Adam's also a manifesting generator. So I'm sure he'll be happy. Yes. I ask.
So the reason I combined the manifesting generator and the generator is because their strategy is the same. They are here to respond to their environment because they have the aura of a generator. And so life is still seeing them as this big magnet, basically. The only thing is that manifesting generators are designed to pivot really quickly. Because they have this manifestor energy, they're still kind of connected to those divine urges. So they will feel like, I need to shift now. Like something has to happen. I'm done with that. Whereas a generator might continue doing the same thing for a while because they're like, well, this is where I'm supposed to serve. Manifesting generators can, like, they're kind of like close by when the manifestor is getting that like download from the universe. Like the collective's like, hey, manifestor, do this. And the manifesting generator is like nearby and they're like, something's about to change. I need to hop on this new thing that just popped up. And they need the ability, they need the freedom to be able to hop back and forth between these timelines basically that are popping up. Manifesting generators are very quantum beings and they need the flexibility and the openness to be able to exist in one realm and then teleport to another realm and be okay with that. It's really fun. It's also scary. But if you give yourself that freedom, stuff just kind of falls into place and it doesn't seem as frightening when you're doing it. At least like right now I'm having a really cool manifesting generator experience. Like there's times where I'm scared because I'm like, I don't know where I'm like teleporting to next. I'm kind of like in like limbo right now, and then all of a sudden I'll land somewhere and I'm like, oh, okay, cool, so we'll do that now, and then we'll do that for however long that happens until the next thing happens.
Whoa, wait, Kylie, do you resonate with any of this? Because I feel like I could see how this could show up in your life in some ways.
Yes. I mean, first of all, it's why I always chafed at working at corporate jobs, right? It's because
don't do well at those types of jobs.
I mean, like, that's why ultimately sales is a great, if you have to do a corporate gig as a manifesting generator, sales is great because it's like, I'm just going to ping pong around and decide who to talk to. And my day is different every day. But I think the big thing for me is like, for so long, I have been down on myself for not being quote unquote consistent. And I have like written a million different like attempts at what consistency should look like. And including like even in my own business being like, I'm going to go live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Like it's just, and then I beat myself up because like, I really want to go live Monday at 10 p.m. And I wait, cause I'm like, no, strategies, you know, the like quote unquote official Facebook strategy is like, you gotta be consistent. So I'll wait. And then Wednesday 10 a.m. rolls around. I'm like, the last fucking thing I want to do is do a Facebook live right now. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and that has been like my whole life. And so I'm trying right now in particular to like free myself from this idea that quote unquote consistency is required to be successful, because kind of the like realization for me was that I was still harping on myself and beating myself up about being inconsistent while filling up my course and having a full roster of clients. Do you know what I mean? Like it wasn't even lining up with logic. And I was over there being like, I need to be consistent so I can be successful. And then I'm like, but you are experiencing literally everything you want to be experiencing mm-hmm. while being inconsistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I think this is what P you're saying and what I got from the reading is that when you live from your type, that benefits you, like meaning life will be more in flow. So like there's these things in whatever our upbringing or conditioning that tell us like, oh, quote unquote, inconsistency is bad or like whatever, but like
rest is bad.
We are like rest is bad, but it's actually like, no, just follow what at least seems for me and Kylie to be our natural tendency anyway. Like just follow that. Don't try so hard to be something else because someone else tells you that it's like the best way to be. And actually that serves you and that benefits you, which is why I think coaching for me is like, I'm like, oh my God, I guess I landed here for a reason because it's like, people don't want my unsolicited fucking advice. I've learned that lesson like the hard way, but when people pay me and they get coached by me, then it's like, boom, like totally. Yeah, exactly. It's just like,
no, projectors blow our minds.
Yeah. But yeah. Then my poor boyfriend, he gets it. He's like, but also I don't want your unsolicited advice. Yeah. So,
yeah. How do you relate? Do you see what he was describing as manifesting generator in Adam?
Okay, I think I need to understand more. When you say, I wrote this down, you said they need flexibility to jump into different dimensions. Can you talk more about that? Like what that means for you, Kylie? I was feeling like, is that how you sort of operate, like in, you know, you jumping into the records and like living and then also, and then coming back into reality, you know, you're saying?
I hadn't even thought of it that way. Yeah. I was thinking of it more like, I'll be like, we've joked to listeners before how like, I just like show up 1 week and I'm like, oh, I have a 12-week course that's launching like next week. You should sign up for it. Right. Like I just like have an idea and then I just go do it. And And so I was thinking of it more as like the dimensions are like projects. But that's an interesting point to think about how being a manifesting generator, like, oh, I wonder, now I really want to think about it in terms of like channeling. Well, P, you seem like someone who channels, whether or not you work in the records. So how does being a manifesting generator relate to?
For me, it's so I guess the dimension jumping to me is just like, I don't have to stick to one title or way of expressing my energy. How, like, my sacral energy wants to leave my body in a variety of ways. So it could be that my sacral energy wants to leave my body in an intuitive way. It could be that my sacral energy wants to leave through my speaking. It could be that my sacral energy wants to leave through my creating of art. And so at any given moment, I could be like, okay, sacral energy, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing the speaking thing. We're not doing the speaking thing anymore. We're gonna jump off that timeline. And now you're gonna be someone who connects directly to their intuition with your power. And so it's like this openness to be able to lend my power to different areas at like in a split second. I can switch from being this person to that person. Not personality wise, my personality stays pretty much the same, but my energy moves in different places really quickly. And it could be different jobs for different people. So some people might have like 5 side hustles and they may be like, I'm a babysitter, a dog walker, a coach, and this, because I need to be able to jump into all of these different types of positions because it's kind of like, I described it to someone the other day, like my mom used to work at this bank and she talked about these people called floaters. And floaters were able to, they could work at their bank, but they could also just travel to like another city's bank at any given moment. And it made it so the bank was able to like, it's okay if someone calls off because we have a floater. And so that's kind of how I see manifesting generators. It's like the universe is like, all right, so like we lost Larry at intuition. Can you go ahead and like fill that role really quick?
That is hilarious. Oh my God. That, in terms of your question, Kylie, how do I see this in Adam? Oh my, I see this in Adam so much and it's making so much sense because he jumps from thing to thing. And I feel kind of bad now because what I'm realizing is, oh, I should be like, because sometimes it drives me fucking nuts. Like sometimes I'm just like, you are just like all over the place. He's doing this and you're right. He's got like his hand in 5 different things and he's got like these different interests and he'll like jump from thing to thing. And I'm like, oh, like that's a gift when worked with, I should honor that instead of being like, for me, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't keep up with all the things. So
it's funny. I did that at my job. When I worked at Apple, I was someone who floated in between roles, which is really interesting. I would be like the person at the front, making sure that people connected to the Genius Bar. Sometimes I would take like random Genius Bar appointments, which is not what I was supposed to do, but I would do it sometimes. I also worked the back of house sometimes and I did a really good job at that. Whenever they needed me to do back of house, I'd trained sometimes, like I just would jump into different roles. I would teach classes at the store. Not everyone was doing that. It's just certain people in particular, they're just like, you have the energy to like hop between all of these different roles. So whenever we need your energy, go over there. So that's kind of how I view that.
Yeah.
And I've also experienced times in my life where like, I wasn't like in alignment where I wasn't like really practiced at listening to myself. And I wasn't like, I wasn't honoring the, like the respond, right? The yes, no, no response. And so then I was just like flitting about doing things that were unsatisfying, not finishing anything, right? Like this energy, I think can definitely like, just feel like, ugh.
Yeah.
And we're like, nothing moves forward. And that's its own really frustrating thing.
That's literally the energy signature for generators who are trying to make things happen. Or if they're not listening to their sacred response, it's this feeling of frustration. I equate it to like a truck revving up and not moving anywhere because they're stuck in the mud. And it's weird because like, you're like, this truck's so powerful. You should be able to go wherever, but like that mud's deep. And so that feeling is a good time to check in. Like, was I listening to my sacral? Am I pivoting as much as I want to pivot for a manifesting generator? Especially if you feel anger, that means you might need some more pivots, like in your life, some more options. Or have I tried to force my will on the universe? Cause that's a quick way to get frustrated as a generator.
What are the, like, I forget, I don't know what they're called, but the other versions of that, right? So if frustration is one, the not self. Okay, what are they for the other types?
So for the generators, it's frustration. For the manifesting generators, it's also frustration, but when you really are not listening or when you are not giving yourself options, it turns into anger because that's what happens with manifestors. They get angry when they're not living in alignment, when they're not acting on those urges, when they're trying to live in response to other people and what they're doing when they're trying to pay attention to their environment and create based off of that. Anger will often happen. Projectors, it's bitterness. It's this feeling of like, no one's seeing me. No one's paying attention to me. I have to try to sell myself because no one cares about what I'm offering. Mm-hmm. And so that will be when projectors are not waiting for the invitation, when they're trying to reach out to people or offer unsolicited advice, or when they're not sharing their wisdom or their gifts, they'll feel this bitterness. And then for reflectors, whoa, I'm blanking on what it feels like for reflectors. Oh, it's disappointment is what they experience when they are not living by their design. It's almost like they have an expectation to fulfill a certain energy, and then when they're not allowing themselves to just be the lunar beings and the open beings they are, they get disappointed. I think it's like the having of expectations, like I need to be like this, or this should happen like that. Projectors mm-hmm. need to let go of that. Or sorry, reflectors have to let go of that. Because life is very, it's like so twinkly for them. It's like this twilight like energy, being a reflector.
Wait, so this not self meaning, like, are you saying when we notice this emotion? So for me, bitterness, yep. that's when I know I'm out of alignment with
yes. my type. Check in with yourself if you're feeling that. That's big indicator, for you.
Cool. That's interesting. I don't know if I feel a lot of bitterness. I do feel a lot of frustration though. So I'll just check in more about bitterness. Okay. Can you talk a little bit more about, there are a couple of things, there's just so much, but that I got from my reading that I think might be helpful for other people to hear, is like where you manifest from, right? Is that, that's something that we talked about in last week's podcast too, Kylie. There's like, you were explaining to me that I shouldn't be too specific, that it's helpful.
Yes.
Like, aren't there like two types of how yes. you manifest?
Yeah. So there are these things called variables in human design. It's these arrows that are surrounding the head portion of the body graph. And this is where you're going to get like a really close birth time, because these change a lot. But these variables can dictate your digestion, your awareness types of the way that you recall information, and also the way that you take in information, the environment that you ideally would feel the best in, the way that your body would function best. And then the last one is the way that you create your perspective of reality, or whatever your perspective is coming from. And so the perspective part of the chart is where you will see how you manifest, because that's where you are creating reality. So there are beings who have something called like left-facing energy. And this energy is someone who tends to be a bit more strategic or pointed about what they want. It's like life has kind of spelled out exactly what you want somewhere in your consciousness. And you should be asking for the specific thing that you want. I want this chair. I want a house with this many bedrooms and this many windows. This specific item. And that item is kind of like a guidebook for where you're going, these things that you want. Then there's non-specific beings who don't know what they want, but they know the energy of what they want, or they know how it feels to have that thing. Now they'll try to be specific sometimes. You could totally manifest specific things, it's still possible, but it feels better to be a bit more open about the reality that you're creating. And you're like, I don't know if I want to date someone who's this tall and with this personality traits, but I would like to feel like this in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so manifesting from there is a lot easier for those types.
Again, that was game changing for me, because we've been having a lot of like people talking about manifestation on this podcast. And that was helpful for me, because I was like, oh, I don't have to be so specific. Because sometimes people are like, you have to know exactly what color everything is and where everything is. I'm like, that seems stressful. So anyone out there who's listening, depending if you get your chart read, Pete can tell you which one you are. And that'll help.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say it's the bottom right arrow. It could either be facing left or right, bottom right. Yeah. And that'll tell you whether or not you're specific or non-specific.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
I am so impressed. If anyone is listening and hasn't looked at your human design chart, you should look at it just for the sake of recognizing how wild it is that P is drawing all of this information from this, like, it's a picture of like the top half of a body and then just like crazy colors and arrows and like it's like so stressful to me to look. It's like similar to like astrology, and I know it has like some piece of it is like high astrology, but it's like things that are super systematic. I'm like blown away, because I'm just like, oh, it's like like deciphering a cipher or something.
I remember I was like, I remember getting my reading. I was like, I don't know how you're keeping all this information in your head.
But I also, I have a, my brain type is right facing also. So when it comes to like fact recall, it happens in the moment when I need it. But other than that, I have no idea what's going on. Like, it's like this, this like big bowl of information. And I'm like, I don't know what's in there until it's the right moment. But also I'm not that good with like systems, but I am, I guess my brain works in a very like artistic way, so I make connections in between things. And so like I'll listen to something or read a description or understand something, and my brain's like, oh, like this, and I'm like, oh. And so that connectivity is how I read human design charts and pool information, is because I'm like, oh, that's like that, and that relates to that. So that's kind of how,
okay,
I'm able to pool the information.
So that actually brings me to one of the questions I wanted to ask, because one of the things that you shared as you were kind of breaking down the different types that I've never heard anyone discuss before is how these different types are connected to like essentially this like evolution of humanity and this ascension of the planet. And I've never heard anyone link human, I'm sure that's there, I just have missed it. Could you speak a little bit more? I'm fascinated by that topic, one, because it keeps showing up in the records, and two, because the way you were describing it sounded so different than anything I heard before.
Yeah. And can I add to that too? Because I think I've heard you reference in our reading and in this conversation, interesting outlooks on the future. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that I kind of wanted to ask you, like, what do you know?
Yeah, that's really what I'm getting at. Yeah. If you're the Oracle in this video game.
Yeah. Well, I there's a lot of like theories and ideas of what's to come, but my theory of how existence works based off of, I guess, the way that I relate everything that I've seen to reality is that we live in a system, in an autonomous system, and the universe itself is a system that takes care of itself. So like, if you get a cut, the body is sending signals to be able to create proteins around that area to make sure that you create skin that covers that part of the body, because your body is open to disease at that point. So the way that I look at human design is that we have this collective experience, and sometimes we get like a cut as this like one being. And that's when the universe is like, okay, so there's this place where we're wounded. We need to create more of this thing to be able to have an experience that responds to that wounding. And so that's like the projectors being born. There was kind of this like slave mentality worker bee thing that was happening between the manifestors and the generators. So the manifestors were like, this has to happen, this has to happen. The generators like, okay, we'll keep building the thing. And it became to like where we didn't need to have that happen anymore. These people were starting to become powerless. Like they had so much power in their body, but they weren't using it for themselves. They were using it for the manifestors. Not to say that was wrong, but it was like, we're done with that. Like, that's not the experience we're having anymore. And so the body was like, cool, next thing. We need to have people who can guide these generators because they have no idea what they're doing. They're gonna continue to work for whoever's gonna tell them what to do. And that's how I view what's happening now. And in human design, they say that those little arrows around the head, a lot of people have left-facing arrows, but more and more people are being born with right-facing arrows. And so these right-facing arrows, it's a very passive, I don't want to say feminine energy, but it's very passive vortex-like non-linear energy that we're moving towards. And so more and more kids are being born having this non-linear, very like watery, not watery, I don't know if that's the right word, but this just, there's
like
no
fluidity
lines. Yes. And I'm someone who has a lot of that right facing energy. And it's interesting because it pops up in my, like, I live a very fluid life. I don't really have a plan for when I wake up. I just get up. There's no, I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't have a 2-week plan. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. I think I have like a call scheduled or something like that, but I don't know what's going on most of the time. And like more and more people like that are being born. But we're pretty fresh right now. So like us living in this society as the way, like the way that it is with all of the left facing beings is weird because they're the majority. And we're like, I thought we had to be structured, but I literally can't function like that. It's very hard for me. And so I'm being myself, and then other right facing arrow beings are probably seeing that and they're like, oh, you're not going to die. And so they're allowing themselves to have this experience, it's going to make it easier for their kids if they have right arrow facing kids, because they more than likely will, because of what's happening. They will give them that freedom at birth. It's like, you're allowed to be this free being. You don't have to live in this linear way. You don't need to go to the school that's not going to make sense for the way your brain works, and so on. Oh,
that sounds awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, that's, yeah. I don't know what, I can't remember which way my arrow faced, but I'm like, part of me is like, that sounds scary because I'm such a structured person. I'm like, oh my God. And you're like you hearing about you saying, oh, you think you have a call next week just blows my mind, because I already know exactly, like, you know, what time I'm going to shit next week, essentially. But at the same time, I'm that person who's like, yes, fuck yes. That seems like a more natural way to live. Or maybe we're too off balance. So what it is just about, like you're saying,
it's about being. But it's all natural, though. That's the thing. And I speak about like logic and linearity, and the universe itself is both completely and totally extremely logical, and at the same time absurd, when there's with no sort of linearity. It's they exist at the same time, and so I respect logic and linearity and structure, because that is natural. It's part of being. Like, if you zoom into a cell, like, they have walls that look like geometric shapes, like there's linearity there. But then there's also that space for beings to just be nebulous, and they have to exist together for a while. I don't think there's ever going to be a time where we only have non-linear beings, and like, I don't know, I feel like we'll always have both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they both have their place.
Yeah,
yeah.
And balance, like to what you're saying, Eva, is like we're out of balance, and we have to return to balance.
Yeah.
And I also am weird about balance. I don't think the universe is ever out of balance. I don't think that, I think we're always exactly where we're trying to be at that moment. I think that we decide, like, it would be cool to experience more of this type of energy, or let's say feminine, because it seems like we're moving that way. I feel like the universe is like, let's do more feminine energy now. We've had enough of this masculine energy. Let's draw in the next thing. Because of the whole infinite expansion thing, we can keep going back and forth between being feminine and masculine for the rest of eternity. Like, we have no choice. We're literally stuck in this experience forever as an endless loop. And so we got to keep moving back and forth. And there's, I don't think that our goal is to be 50-50. I think that we're here to experience 50-50 for maybe 20 years, and then we'll go somewhere else. But this is just what's happening now. It seems like there's more of that nebulous energy coming.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know. That sounds great to me.
Yeah. Sign me up.
I'm down for the ride.
I get kind of worried about the idea of balance, but it's interesting because my partner, he has a lot of linear energy in his chart, and he loves the idea of balance, which I understand that. I just think that, I feel like balance is overrated, personally, from my experience. But I appreciate where he's coming from with that idea of balance. To me, that's creating a type of structure and a type of an idea that I think is a safe space for a lot of people. I think the idea of balance can bring a lot of comfort to people who feel like they're out of balance. Like, maybe they're just like, I can reach for this feeling of balance, and then I can move from there. And maybe I'm supposed to be this person who's way more this way or way more that way.
I'm thinking of we had to say to my son the other day, fair doesn't mean equal. Right? Like and then I'm thinking of this as you're talking, which is this idea that, like, balance doesn't necessarily mean like equal, cut in half, 50-50, but balance to me feels like I am able to be fully and wholly myself in a way that feels good and authentic. And if everyone else is also able to stay in that space of like really authentically living their own life, that creates a kind of like harmonious ecosystem where people aren't in outrageous amounts of pain. People aren't being exploited. People aren't being, you know, killed, you know, these sort of like the quote unquote utopia, right? Or like the human ascension comes from each of us getting to just be ourselves fully without all the baggage and without all of the projection. And then in that space, like something new that we haven't experienced rises up.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel like we're in a phase of feeling good for a while. I think that that's what we're heading towards, is like, we had some suffering as a human collective. Let's move towards feeling good. Let's have that experience. And then we'll feel good for a million years. And then we'll be like, that's enough. I've had enough of the feeling good. Let's bring some more terror and horrible things in here. This is like, because if we're this endless God who can experience all things and never die, like, my boyfriend plays some pretty violent games that, like, I'm like, I don't know why you would like watching this, but imagine an infinite God who's experiencing the life of being a human as a game. And so I feel like we're moving towards the goodness and the utopia right now, which is why I think my consciousness is in this body, because like I like that. This soul very much enjoys the whole good experience. I'll probably remain in this type of experience for a while as a soul, but yeah, I think that's where we're going. That's what feels like what's happening.
Ooh. And I'm also thinking about, oh, sorry, go ahead, Eva.
No, I'm just excited. That's all.
Well, it's interesting because I'm just thinking about how, like, you know, in our own healing journey, like, to me, it's like this, like spiral staircase, like going down a spiral staircase, right? Where, like, you're just, like, getting closer and closer and closer to the kernel of, like, who you are. But some, on, like, parts of that spiral staircase are, like, I'm realizing now this is a metaphor that exists so firmly rooted in my head that now that I'm trying to describe it, it doesn't really make sense. Yeah. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, healing isn't linear. Like, in our own personal journey, we experience like peace and ease, and then we're triggered in a way that invites us to go deeper and heal and release something deeper. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that the expansion, ever expanding universe has the same cycle, right? Where there's like phases breathing. Of peace and ease and breathing. And then it's not that it's not this like pendulum wild swing back and forth. It's actually that, like, and then you go deeper because there's a deeper level of healing. And sometimes you have to experience the trigger and the trauma, like the trigger in order to release the, like, original trauma. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would even add, like, in some ways, I kind of think like all of this is part of the same thing. Like they're together. They're not separate. Like, our mind separates us into good or bad. But the universe doesn't know good or bad, right? The universe isn't like, this is, yeah, like it just is. And because it's like the whole yin yang thing, like the quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, bad is creates the good. You can't have good without understanding what bad is. And so it's just all part of like the same cycle, which is, I think, helpful to remember when shit gets crazy.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the future? I feel like the reason I asked, I have a very specific pointed question that I'm trying to get to. On our reading, you said something to me that I thought I didn't even have a chance to ask, but I was just like, what are you talking about? You said something like, but I was very curious about, you said you thought that capitalism, I think is what you said, is going, would fizzle out.
Yeah. I think that is, I guess the way, okay, so I had an experience where the only way, it's almost like life was like, the only way I'm gonna let you manifest money is if you understand that money is literally not real. Like, I need you to completely dissolve the idea of what money is completely before you can make it. And I was like, the more I realized that, I'm like, oh, like anything that can be dissolved in my experience like this, it's about to fall apart. Like the idea of, money being this measure of value is starting to become unreal for a lot of people. More and more people are like, money's fake. Like, do you guys not realize that money doesn't exist? And they're not really even saying it from a spiritual place. They're saying it because it literally is not real. Mm-hmm. But people are really letting that click in their system. And I don't think that capitalism is going to survive a lot of people suddenly realizing that money's not real. Because when the collective is paying attention to an idea, that idea starts to unfold with all of us. And more people are like, I can decide that I'm going to make this, like in the digital art world, this thing called NFT art or like token Bitcoin art is starting to pop up. And there are a lot of artists who are upset because there are artists who are making art that seems like it's very easy, or they're just doing these things digitally and they're selling it for like thousands of dollars of Bitcoin. It's not even physical art that they're selling. They're selling a token basically to receive the art. So there's literally no physical object anywhere. The art is made digitally. It's not being shipped anywhere. they're getting a token, a string of numbers, and they're like, now you have $1,000 because you sold the string of numbers that didn't exist yesterday to this person. And so,
whoa, wait, interesting. So art world, does the purchaser get to see the art?
Yes, they get to see the art. They visually get to see the art, but it's not physically in space. It's right, on okay. a computer.
Mm-hmm, got it.
And so some artists are like, I've been painting for 15 years and I've never sold a piece over $500. And you guys are selling pieces for $38,000 and $100,000 that probably, they're like, it probably took you like 3 hours to do or 2 hours to do. And now you're making all of this money. And so my experience of looking at that is just like, oh, it's dissolving finally. Like, it's like, this is about to get really weird. The entire idea of how money is made is already kind of strange, but I think that people are gonna be very confused by sudden like wealth that happens out of nowhere. And I feel like people are gonna be like, we can't use this system for money anymore. Like it's not making sense at this point.
It's not working the way that, yeah, some people want it to. Whoa, cool. I like that too.
Yeah, it's really weird watching in real time. I'm like, wow, money is dissolving. That's funny. This is hilarious to watch. And like, I am starting to not take money yet, like seriously. Like, it's, to me, I have to try to make sure that when I'm doing things, I'm not doing it for money. Because I'm like, money's not the thing that will sustain me. It's like this feeling in myself that's sustaining me. The money is just like how we count how much I feel like I should be sustained. Mm-hmm. And so I feel a lot lighter about that, which is nice. I still have those times because I like was raised in a very not so fun experience with money. And so I still get those like triggers. And then I have to tell myself like, hey, it's not real. The money you spend today, you could get it back double tomorrow randomly. Like it just can happen in an instant. And so, yeah, I feel like that's falling apart.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I have moments, I've been like really actively, I've been doing a lot of healing around money for like the past year and a half, because I realized it was tied to a lot of other deeper complicated stuff that needed tending to. And it's interesting because like, so the journey has really started being around like, you're worthy of everything you desire. You're worthy of everything you desire. Like, if you would like to have more money, like it's fine. You can have more money. Like, you're not required to be stressed about money all the time. Like, that's not a divine assignment. That's not your divine assignment. Like, it's fine. If you want, like, if you want to live on a lake house, we've got the lake house ready for you. Right. And then like this next layer of that really has been what you're talking about. Like, I'll be like, sometimes I go into the records before I fall asleep and I will have this moment where it's like, you know, when you're falling asleep where you can like see things clearly because you're so like slipping away.
Hypnagogic state, I think is what that's called.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll just have this moment where I'm like, oh my God, none of this, like money is so irrelevant. Like, it's fine. Like, I could have $1 million tomorrow. Like, it literally doesn't matter. And then of course I wake up and like my conditioning like clicks back in. Maybe it clicks back in a little bit less, but it's interesting what you're saying because I keep having these like increasing moments where I'm like, oh, this is fucking fake. Yeah.
Like so much of our quote unquote reality or perception of reality.
Yeah.
Whew.
All right.
I also love, okay, sorry, one thing. I also love what you're talking about is like the death of capitalism coming from us just like recognizing that an idea is no longer valid, right? Yeah. Like, there's something I think also very inherently peaceful about that in a world where it feels like the only way to make change requires like an incredible amount of energy and effort and like pain and sacrifice. What you're pointing out is like, the more we recognize that like the whole construct of money is like a kind of absurd. And
it's like a fraud. We like wake up to this.
Like the emperor has no clothes.
And it's really just numbers on a screen now. It's been reduced to numbers on a digital device. Like, wild.
Yeah. And there's really beautiful about that.
I think that is beautiful. That's why I'm excited. It sounds like you have really, what I am discerning is positive, like positive views of the future. But part of me is also like that. I'm just thinking about like how much faith do I have in humanity? I think that that requires a collective awakening, right? In that prediction, lots and lots of people need to wake up to it. And you're saying that's already happening, and I can see that. But my idealistic side is like, fuck yeah, we are heading in that direction. And the hard part of the other part of me is like, ugh, it's going to take a long time for people to wake up, but also time isn't real either. So what is a quote unquote long time?
And part of what helps me with that, I tend to not be super connected to the community of all beings. I don't really know why. I just have a hard time being concerned with like the entire collective. I think I kind of got like a little traumatized by that. I'm very sensitive to like what's happening out there. So I'm like, I need to distance myself. And so what I've realized with that distancing from the experience of all things is that I feel like I have this understanding that like all ideas that we perceive as true, they have to exist somewhere. Like if we believe continuously that somewhere in this country there are people suffering, they're gonna exist. And it's not to say that we're causing it to happen. It's more of like this, like, if you perceive it, it has to be true somewhere. If we believe it, there's truth that exists. So I know that there's a lot of people who are suffering and that there's a lot of people who are in pain. My thing is, I don't understand how we're going to create more peace and happiness with the collective while continuing to attach to that pain and suffering. And so it's not for everyone. I don't recommend that all people do this whole detachment thing. I think that there are some beings who are here to kind of like break off a little bit and go in that direction. And so it's made it a lot easier realizing also that I'm one of those people who like, I need to like crack off from like reality a bit. And like, I dissolve it all the time, which is why I'm very much into psychedelics. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention that.
Yeah. also a big fan. Okay. So you're good.
It allows me the experience of like breaking apart and being like, wow, this literally is a reflection of whatever we're believing is true. And I don't want to see people in pain, but I also had to accept the pain. And I don't know, like, I just have this, I guess the reason I'm optimistic is because I'm like, wherever I'm going, there will be less suffering. Like whatever experience that I'm having because of my perception of reality and what I'm choosing to look at, there has to be less suffering. And so, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's just how it feels for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't live well in the environment where there's people who are always in pain like that, I guess.
Yeah. Or hyper-focused, I think, on just the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think that like in this moment, you know, there's this idea, and again, thinking of like our own healing and the collective healing are, you know, it's the same experience, that there's repressed anger that needs to be expressed in order to like let it move out and through you. And then there's also like choosing peace and choosing love and choosing forgiveness. And it also, and so it makes sense to me that fragments of us would be right, like some people's soul's purpose right now would be like this anger needs to be expressed, right, of like all of this repressed pain and suffering that has been ignored. Like now is the moment where we're going to stand up and say not anymore, and like that needs a platform because it's the only way it moves out and through us. And also it makes sense to me that there are other beings like yourself that are like, I'm here to hold a frequency of like love and peace and forgiveness. And both of those, like it's the combination of those experiences, I think, that actually begins to shift things.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with that. Like in human design, there are certain people with the mission to express the feelings of the oppressed. Anyone who has been forced to contain that, they're expressing it through art in some way or through words, or they're like, I'm holding the space because you're not listening to them. So I'm going to be like a cannonball for this experience. And so those beings are really interesting to have readings with, because I usually get like a little bit of people's energy before readings. Like I'll feel it in my body for a while. Yeah. And I'm like, woo, you're like, there's electricity happening talking to those beings. It's a very intense experience. And I'm someone who in my human design chart, like I'm motivated by something called innocence, which is basically no motivation. I have no agenda. And so like, that's why I say like, if I'm an oracle, I'm not a good or a bad one. I'm here to tell you what I'm seeing. But I'm not on anybody's side, which also I think sometimes people hear that and they're like, that makes you the villain. And I'm like, I'm not the villain because I'm not against you. I'm also not on your side. I'm just here giving neutral. You information. If yeah. you would like to have a good time with me and have me read your chart and have fun, that's totally cool. Yeah, and that's where I come from when I'm reading charts. Is like, I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to go in a certain direction other than my direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Neutral. I can definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm kind of the same way. But that's one thing that I've really gotten from human design. I wrote this note here is that like in this conversation, and I think actually P, what you model so well is like, it's okay to be you. Like whatever it is you is, it's like, it's all good. It's all necessary. It's all beautiful. It's all part of it. I'm just, and it's so that message is comforting anytime I can hear it, because it's a constant reminder I need in a society where I feel like anyway, I'm getting inundated with messages that like I have to be a different way that you know I need to improve myself and blah blah blah, personal development blah blah blah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not only okay, it's a bit more efficient for everyone else. And sometimes I can like feel the inefficiency of the collective, and not that it's a problem, but I can sometimes I'm like, we are causing so many issues for ourselves, and it's because like the collective is informing us like we need more projectors who are designed like this, have them be born, and we're like, cool, I'm ready to be that type of projector, I'm popping in as a soul into this physical body. And then when we don't act like that thing that we asked for, that's when like weird hiccups happen, because it's like, ah, but we made a place for this being, because that's what we asked for, and you're being that being, that's not
yeah, we're like confused.
Well, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, this resonates so deeply, because one of like the like really loud messages I've been getting for really since COVID hit, and it's just getting louder, is like, we chose this timeline and this moment and this lifetime for a fucking reason. And like, if you are someone who's like spiritually curious, who like lives, like is drawn to living a life in service in one way or another, and like being a healer or a coach, like this is it. This is the fucking moment. And so like, we have to just like get out of our own way and be our like authentic selves, whether it's our human, living in our human design, whether it's like showing up for your soul's purpose, both primary and secondary, like just like doing the damn thing that you came here to do, because like we need you, and we will all like
benefit.
we will all experience like such relief when everyone starts to get to just be their fucking selves.
Yeah
it works so smoothly.
And isn't that how the universe is though? Like yeah, it's like in it's organically, it works, and then we just like kind of let it be. And then what you were saying, Kylie, is just like freedom. Like that's what I'm just like, if you, that's what it is, if we just get to like be ourselves and do whatever, you know, like and not try so hard to fit into something else, like that's, then we get to be fucking free. And that's ultimately I think why aligning with your soul feels so good, because then you're just like, oh, I'm just free, I just like am free. Yeah, what I meant.
Yeah
Woo. I'm loving this conversation. P, is there anything else that we didn't ask but maybe should have regarding anything you want to talk about?
Not that I can think of, but most of the time I'm acting in response, so I'm like, if you guys bring something up, I'll respond. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Nothing I'm
itching to. Well, I think we could talk literally for 24 hours, but we will ask you our final question, which is, what is something that's bringing you joy right now?
Something that's bringing me joy is the amount of love in my life. I like my friends, my family, my partner, the way that I'm loved and the way that I'm accepted by the people in my life, for things that like aren't normally accepted. Like I am not a reliable friend. I am like, I'll pop up suddenly and be like, we can make plans now suddenly, and I sometimes flake with things. I don't like to plan stuff ahead. I need time alone randomly, but then sometimes I want to be with people, and so like that energy is met with constant grace. Like there's not really ever a time, maybe like more than 8 hours, of someone being not okay with who I am. And so that acceptance is amazing. It's so cool. And I think I like to spend time appreciating that. And so that's bringing me joy, appreciating that.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And I'm sure you, Eva. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was saying that's probably something you cultivated also just with your own self-awareness of knowing what you need and what you like and being able to, yeah, to do that. So that's awesome. So yeah, something that's bringing me joy right now. This is my last week in Taiwan before I head back before the election. And I've probably talked about food a lot on this podcast because like food is an integral part of my life, but I think it's specifically the act of gathering around food in Taiwan. If you've been like watching my Instagram stories, that's just food. Taiwan is constant eating. Like there isn't really that much. It's not like a place where you like go and do a bunch of touristy stuff. Like food is it. Like Taiwan is an eating country and people just sit around and talk about food for like, people just talk about food. Like that's the topic of conversation. And so again, like it's so nice to have an abundance of this amazing Asian seafood or food and seafood in general. But what I've noticed is that, and you guys have heard me talk about this on the podcast as well, like I have a complicated relationship with my family, but no matter what, we always gather around food. Like that is how I am spending time with my family. Even when we're upset, even when there's drama, even when there's whatever, it's like, it was something that was ingrained in my family when I was young. Like we always had dinner together, which was even when shit was all fucked up, like we still somehow managed to like get together and have dinner. And I'm just fine, you know, like, yeah, I guess I'm just saying extreme gratitude to be able to gather around food with my family, but especially my parents. And that feels like a blessing. Yeah.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks. And what about you, Kylie? What's something that's bringing you joy?
So my daughter, 1.5, super intuitive, is like a cat whisperer. I don't know how else to describe it. But she, like, there's a neighborhood cat that the whole family just calls Birdie's cat.
That's awesome.
And it, like, shows up just for her. Like, it seems to like everybody, but, like, there's one time that she got hurt and the cat, like, just appeared and, like, stood outside the window and stared into the window until she came to the window. And then she, like, they, like, locked eyes. Whoa. She calmed down. And then the cat, like, walked a little bit down the driveway and just, like, chilled out. Like, this cat and Birdie are like, they've been through it before. This is not their first rodeo.
Yeah.
And I was telling my family this story about like Birdie and her cat. And we were all, and I was like with my extended family, we went to go for a walk. And my like daughter was like super retired. And so she started crying about being in the like the baby carrier thing. And all of a sudden she just, I see a cat. And sure enough, there was a cat that came like prancing over to her and like just was like madly in love with her and got on its back and was like giving it her belly. And,
like, does this mean you have to get a cat, Kylie, at some point?
So my husband is like super allergic to animals, but my daughter is like, I can't describe how I know this, except I just know that she is like the witchiest creature I've ever met. And so we were going for the walk in the woods and I was like, I just whispered to her, I was like, Birdie, if you want a cat, just bring us the cat that won't make Dad sick. Like, go ahead.
Ooh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Genius.
Yeah, I feel like it's in our future, but it's in her hands. And this is how I make life decisions. My 1.5-year-old will decide and manifest a cat for herself if she wants one.
Yeah.
So, but it's just a lot. And the cat, like, lately, she's been like around like every day lately. So this morning, like, Birdie and I just hung out with the cat for like 15 minutes. And she's like so, like, the sweetest balance of like not at all afraid, but also like not stomping on the cat. Like, she just knows how to be with animals in this way that's really, really cool. So anyway, Birdie and her cat is bringing me joy.
I love it. Love it.
So cute.
So P, where can people find you?
They can find me on my website, and that's PEATHEFEARY.com, pethefairy.com, or on Instagram, and it's at pethefairy. Yeah, those are the best places. Awesome. For me.
Yeah. And awesome. So I know you do like 1.5-hour human designs and also 1 hour.
Yes.
And don't you also do couples, I think?
Yes. I do half an hour, which is like a foundational reading. Then I do an hour reading, which is, if you haven't had a foundational reading, it's that, but then also we go a bit further. And then if I get like intuitive, like hits or little pings while talking, then I'll bring that up. Or if I see this overall energy, like I'm seeing the full character, then I will let that be known. And then the partnership ones can be both relationship or business partners, or like siblings, parent, child relationships, but basically like how energy is working between two beings.
Awesome. Yeah. And then there's your art too, which is also all over Instagram and should definitely go be looked at.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This was such a beautiful conversation.
Of course. I had an amazing time and it felt really good. So thank you.